Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres now with a chance here to start something again. Paterka to the net, scores! J.J. Paterka with a beauty, and it's 5-4 Buffalo.
Dan Dunleavy on the call there. 5-4 Buffalo, don't worry, they would lose the lead again in that game. Ultimately, eventually lose 7-5 to Montreal. Goaltending very much optional yesterday, but perhaps the biggest storyline of that game, the health of Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelson. I don't really know if anyone actually even saw Tage Thompson get hurt or what happened. Just seemed to notice that he was not on the bench or wasn't playing much in the second period. And for more on yesterday's game, and really the last few for the Sabres, we go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How are we doing today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yesterday's game, Paul, as like a neutral fan, I would have loved it. As a Sabres fan, I was white-knuckling my steering wheel driving in yesterday.
Yeah, it just, so many chances to win. I mean, they kept coming back, and almost immediately they would come back. And then they gave up two bad goals in the last minute. Lots of mistakes were had there. I'm sure some pucks maybe Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen thought maybe he could have had too. And so now you're down again, but it took, what, 3.5 minutes to get back up again. They tied the game and took the lead rather quickly. And then it's just they revert back to, it seems like they revert back to what they know. No matter how well they're playing, no matter what year it is, no matter who the players are, it's, yeah, we can play well for three games or five games when you're, or six games rather, when you went 4-1-1, but you can't sustain it. And you can beat the Dallas Stars, and you can beat the Florida Panthers, and you can beat the New York Rangers, but you can't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Columbus Blue Jackets or the New York Islanders or the Montreal Canadiens. It's goofy. And all right, so here you are. You were the second worst team a week ago in the league. You win three in a row, so up the standings you go. And you're about in the middle now. Then you lose to the worst team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the worst goals against in the league, who had lost six in a row, although they had won they've won five in a row in Buffalo. But
thanks for that.
Yeah. But it just, the pattern never changes. And that's the problem. And they make goofy mistakes. The mistakes were plentiful yesterday. They're turning the puck over. They're not killing plays the way they are. Yeah, they scored five goals, but they only had 18 shots. A lot of goals came, you know, on the rush. And you gave your power, your penalty killing had been much better recently when you win three in a row. You give up two power play goals. After you take the lead in the third period, you allow them to tie the game. Okay, you've allowed them to tie the game, but you're okay. You're not behind. So if you have to, get it to overtime. Whatever. But no. Your captain decides to take a stupid elbowing penalty. He loses. Just loses his focus. He lets anger get the best of him, and it makes him to make bad decisions on the ice. It's been happening all year. He wants to win so badly that when it doesn't go right, he gets so angry and so upset, It takes away from his game, and he does things like that. That's not the first dumb penalty he's had to stand there after the game and say, I take responsibility for that. And I admire him for taking responsibility for that. But you got to stop doing it. You know, you just gave them a goal to make it 5-5, and within 20 seconds you take that penalty while they've got the momentum of just tying the game. So what did you think might happen? They might score a power play goal. Guess what? The leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League scored a power play goal. I mean, that's – they just can't build on their success long term. It's a short-term thing, and then they revert back to what they do. And then and we'll see it again. We'll see them play good hockey again. There's no question in my mind. And quite honestly, I do think they're a better team than they were last year. But they do the same types of things. The MO is still the same. And until I see something different, I have no reason to believe that that MO is going to change.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's my biggest thing, too, is just, like, as a fan, it's very frustrating. I've gotten to a point, too, wanting to, like, almost check in on these games, like, in clusters. I'm trying desperately, failing at times, but trying desperately to not look at one game and create a bunch of narratives about it. It's like, no, let's look at the week as a picture. But the Sabres do make it difficult because, Paul, as you pointed out, like, this is their MO. They'll win three in a row, and then they will play abysmally against one of the worst teams in hockey. Montreal wasn't even scoring all that much going into Buffalo. They put up seven, and they didn't even have a ton of shots either. It was all of a sudden became bad goaltending, terrible defensive structure, and now, you know, you're right, they're going to play good hockey again. They may even on Thursday against St. Louis, who's also, you know, kind of around them in terms of not necessarily the standings, but in terms of their record. But the penalties too, Paul, this team and taking penalties, they took six yesterday. I mean, Dahlin takes the bad one, sure, but it's like you keep giving teams chances on these power plays. It's absurd at times.
And that had improved
until
yesterday, mm-hmm. And now they're back to it. You know, and you know, defending had improved until yesterday when they're turning the puck over. And the first goal by Montreal, do you realize neither defenseman was back?
Mm-hmm.
Those were two forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Both defensemen had gone up into the zone. Meaning two forwards were back, and Anderson got behind him. Whoa, what are you guys doing there? I know you want to help in the offensive zone, but both defensemen? And then you leave two forwards back there? But, all right, you did that, but look at what Tage Thompson does just a few seconds later. Comes barreling up the ice, realizes that Montreal did the same thing. Caulfield was back, blew around him, scored the goal. Okay, you're fine. It's 1-1. You can forget about that. You made a mistake, but Tage Thompson had you. He had your back. So now it's 1-1. Now let's go. Let's start playing the way you're capable of playing. Because you're not going to be perfect in the game. I mean, you're going to make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just have to minimize them and not make the mistakes that Lindy Ruff was talking about where, you know, you were in good shape and all of a sudden you did this. Why? Why did you complicate the play when you were in good shape type of a thing? And, that's what, you know, we saw in that game. And it just is mind-boggling that because you would think, as I said, they are better. When they play the way Lindy Ruff is asking them to play, they're a darn good hockey team. For those three games, especially two plus two periods, they were a good team. You know, that in New York against the Rangers, that was a good hockey team. You know, so they're capable of it. That's and I think, you know, you talk about fans. The fans that talk to me, I think that's where their frustration lies because they see the capability. They see that it's there, the players are there, that they're very capable of being a good team. And they show it to us many times. But then this creeps in for maybe three games, maybe one game. I don't know how many games. Last time it was three games. After you win three, you lose three, you know?
And yeah, I think that's the fear, too, is like you lose to Montreal, but then you're looking at the schedule. And in a run here of teams that you, I mean, quote-unquote, the team that beat the Rangers and blew out Ottawa should beat, and you look and go, are we really just going to kind of just stick around 500, lose three here, get none of them to overtime so that we get no points for like a week? That's my thing, and where it's the constant frustrations. We've talked about it a lot. That's probably a big reason why this drought hasn't already ended, is this team's inability to drag games to overtime, to really let them slip late. Yesterday being kind of a magnifying glass on it. It's brutal at times.
And that's what I liked of the Calgary game, because they found a way to win the hockey game. They played a good 40 minutes. They didn't play a good third period, and they allowed Calgary to tie the game because of it. Okay. First of all, you're playing a Western Conference team, so if you get this to overtime and Calgary gets a point, who cares? It's not like you gave somebody around you in the standings a point. So fine, get it to overtime and now work to get your point. They did it. And that's what I liked about that game is, all right, maybe you didn't have the game you had against the Rangers, but you found a way to win the hockey game. That's all that matters, is you got your 2 points. And that's what you're talking about, that there's not enough of those that you get to overtime and find a way to win a hockey game. That's one of the reasons probably why they didn't make the playoffs last year, because they were one of the worst in the league at getting games to overtime and getting the loser points. So, you know, that's exactly what they need. This game... All right, Montreal made it 5-5. You haven't played well. Don't take the penalty and get it to overtime, you know, and go get your try for your second point there. They pulled the goalie. Do you know that goaltender came in, made 4 saves, and got the win?
Oh.
He got the win, and Levi got the loss. And Levi let in 2 goals on 2 shots, but do you blame him on either one? He was totally screened on the first one. Mm-hmm. There were people all over. He never even saw it coming. And the second one is a cross-ice pass for a tap-in because nobody's got the guy off the post on the power play. I don't blame him for either goal, but he didn't make a save till 15 minutes into the third period.
Yeah.
Those were the only 2 shots Montreal had.
And that's the worst part, too. Let's not act like Montreal, you know, quote-unquote, like, earned those 7 goals. It was a lot of, like, for both teams, too, not really getting good shots, not hitting the net, anything like that. It was just, when you did, it was, what, like a 50-50 shot they were going to go in?
I like to say 6 goals, the empty netter.
You
know, I ignore the empty netter. So, really, they had 6 goals against goaltending, and you know, when the play was actually going on.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buffalo actually almost prevented the empty netter. I wish I remembered. I think it was Cousins who got back and actually spoiled the first chance the guys got. But he had to get off his skates and dive to make that play. And I did like the hustle there to get back. If it wasn't Cousins, I apologize. It was somebody else. But whoever it was got back there and you know, at least showed that, hey, I'm not going to let them just dump the puck into the empty net. Unfortunately, you know, that by that time, the guy who shot the puck went down. He went down. Everybody went by the net, and there was another guy there who put it in. But still, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And I think what's more mind-boggling to me is that this group does it that way that we've described, but so did the group before them.
Mm.
And you know, when you look at this overall picture, they've changed GMs how many times? They've changed coaches how many times? They've redone the team, by my count, 3 times, and nothing's worked. So now what?
Time is a flat circle, Paul. Never forget.
You've done every option you've done multiple times, and you still haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. So now what?
And that's been my big thing, too, is like you need to win with this group. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, high-end trade pieces because they're not going to want to come play for you. You look like a toxic sludge of an organization. Free agents, same thing. I like this young core they have. And, Paul, you brought that up too, and it was Cousins as well, so I do want to go to him as well. I mean, is he sort of picking up his game as well? Jack yes. Quinn, less so. But Cousins, it does feel like we're starting to get a little bit of something from him.
Now, Quinn has two. If you watch Quinn on the wall in battles, I think you see an improvement there. That line is in on the forecheck and getting in on the forecheck for the last, I think the Ranger game might have been the first game. They did it against Calgary. So that's where I've seen the improvement in Quinn. And Cousins, you're right, I think has also improved his game, got a nice tip-in goal, you know, going to the net, gets the tip-in goal to score. So, it's just your original point, you are very right in what you say about they're kind of stuck. It has to be this group. You forgot one, the biggest point of all, the contracts. Mm-hmm. These are untradeable contracts right now. You have committed to your core. If, and I will say if, this core is not right, because I won't say definitely it's not right. It hasn't looked right yet, but there are also a lot of young players there. So I'm not gonna sit there and say the mistakes have been made. It's possible the mistakes have been made. And if they have been made, you are stuck. Because the contracts that you have signed these guys to are untradeable if these players don't get better. And I will say this, the Buffalo Sabres are not the only team in the National Hockey League has done this. This is the way business is done in the NHL. The bridge contracts are very, very minimal now. You hardly ever see them unless it's a guy who you don't think is going to be part of your core. The way I look at Henry Okiharyu, they signed him to a one-year contract. That tells me he has not been identified as one of their core players. It's like, well, let's bring him back for one more year and see what happens type of a thing. So that's the problem. But it's not only the Buffalo Sabres doing business this way. Most teams are doing business this way, locking up young players on potential. And I know many are giving up on Samuelson. I don't know why. He's not that old. If he can start playing like he did when he got that contract, he will be a steal, an absolute steal. He is capable of being a very good defenseman. Have injuries taken their toll? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But, you know, the play has gone down. Is it just a lack of confidence? Have injuries taken their toll? Can he get back to where he was when he, in my mind, was fine playing with Dahlin on the number one pair and did a great job? That's why he got the contract. And 4 point. What is it, $3-5 million, whatever it is. I can look it up while we're talking. That's not a lot of money if he's playing the way he did when he started off with. It's $4.286 million that he gets. So that contract will look awfully good if he gets over the injuries, and he's got another one now. We don't know how serious. And that's the other thing. If Tage Thompson is out for any length of time, that's it. This isn't happening. I'm telling you right now. There are some players you cannot afford to lose, and he absolutely is a player. I mean, when he scored that goal, he was a leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League. Yeah. Now, later on in the game, Caulfield caught him and went by him with 12. But he's got 11. He's second in the NHL in goal scoring. They cannot afford to lose him for long term. If that happens, then sorry, folks, it's not going to happen this year.
Sadly, that was going to kind of be my next point, too. I mean, both Samuelson and Thompson leave. They both play under 7 minutes yesterday. It's or 7 minutes of total ice time. But it's just the goal, I think, yesterday, too, Paul, like just from Thompson, just showed, I mean, just how good he can be. It's effectively a solo effort. Just it drags his defense in with him. He's bigger than him and just goes right to the net. He's an unbelievable player. You've seen how good he is. I've joked now that he has two healthy wrists because that was obviously an issue last year. I mean, he's back to being superstar Thompson. But, yeah, it seems like we're in like this kind of, you know, wait and hold period with the Sabres because I fully agree with you. If he's out for I'd even say if it's just it's a week to week, we're going to, you know, or, you know, we think he can be back in 5-6 games. I know that's not how they necessarily say it. But, you know, if he can be back in 5-6 games, you feel good. It's like not really, actually. No, he has been a force for the Sabres this year. Like you said, he's second in goal scoring this year. He's on a four-game goal streak now. I mean, he has been an unbelievable player. He's back to kind of what he was 2 years ago, or I think he'd even be on that pace now. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I love what J.J. Paterka looks like. I think he is a wonderful player that is growing to be one of the better forwards on the Sabres. I think Tuck's had a good year. You're getting something out of Cousins as well. But he is a different player from, it seems, the rest of the Sabres, at least at the forward position.
No, he is. And a couple of weeks, maybe they can get away with that. But not much longer than that. You know, if it's a month, 2 months, no. It's,
yeah.
You know, some other guys, you hate to lose them in some cases, but you could get away with it. With him, the way he's playing, I mean, he's a big part of them playing well. That line forechecks hard. And when they're going, and they're going most of the time, they're in the offensive zone for a lot of the game. And, you know, they've been a force. You know, just look at Paterka, the goal he scored to give them the lead in the third period. He came flying off the bench, got the puck, backed the defenseman into the goaltender, and then, you know, put a backhand in the net. But it was his speed that backed the defenseman off. They see him coming with that speed. They're backing off. They're not going to stand up at the blue line on that. Or he'll make him look silly. Made him look silly anyway. But, you know, just look at that goal that he scored. I mean, that line is a very important piece to this puzzle if they're going to, start turning this into something big.
And, Paul, last thing on that, too. Are we expecting – I know Lindy Ruff met with Jeremy and Joer this morning. Is he expected to speak now later with the media as well?
No, they're off today.
Okay, they're off today. So it is going to be a longer wait to find out really how long both Thompson and Samuelson potentially could be out, because I know it's more they're still doing the quote-unquote testing, which, man, Paul, for Buffalo sports, it feels like we're not getting like anything definitive on like anybody that's hurt. It's killing me. Like, does Cooper have a broken hand? Why is he wearing the cast? What is Ullman? I have no idea. Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, that's the way pro sports rolls. And the NHL is worse because the NHL can get away with lower body and upper body. In the NFL, they actually have to say the injury. But look at Hurts this past week. Apparently, Sirianni slipped. They say, "Oh no, just he's resting. He's fine." And then I guess from what I read, he slipped, and they had to put him on the injury report. Obviously, they hadn't planned on putting him on the injury report.
They were not planning on that at all.
So they're still playing games in the NFL. That should cost the Eagles. That is not the way the injuries are supposed to work. I don't know if it will or it won't, but they were hiding an injury and got caught.
Yeah. And then you have the opposite end, Baltimore, where every week Lamar Jackson's on the injury report for something. And it's like, no, he's actually fine. We just kind of want to give him a rest day. It's exhausting, Paul. It is exhausting trying to keep up with teams. And then you're right.
Remember, Belichick would put like 27 guys on the injury report because he got caught. So it was like half of the 53-man roster was on the injury report.
A man ahead of his time, because now the Bills have, what, like 19 guys on there? A man ahead of his time. All right, Paul, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, take care.
That was Paul Hamilton. His sports on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. And yeah, oh man, just keeping up with the injuries is just a nightmare and a half to just deal with. Because you never really know when anyone is actually hurt, if they're going to be out long term. They got rid of probable too, which, I mean, I get it. You weren't really going to use it that much. But, I mean, that's where you also look at Amari Cooper, who has been limited and questionable for 2 weeks, and he's not playing. So, I don't know. It's a small gripe. It's a first world problem. I get it. But it's still something that frustrates the you-know-what out of me. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll get back to some of your tweets as well on sort of the question of the day, that being, has this year's regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost all of its luster, or is it still the quote-unquote game of the year contender for you? We've had a lot of fun kind of jumping around with that. A lot of people, including myself, really, it's the playoffs, baby. That's what it matters. The regular season is just, well, the regular season. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
I'm
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.